Tonight, we're going to discuss a topic that we haven't yet discussed in the past. Being that as Chodesh Elul approaches, many people have a minog. We spoke in the past, previous shiurim, where the minog comes from, what's halachic status, by checking their mezuzahs during Elul. So I figure we'll spend some time talking about Stam, Inyanei Stam. Stam stands for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs. Those are the three main areas where we use Safras. And we'll spend some time discussing Safras in general, and we'll get to some detailed areas as well. I don't mean to accurately compare Safras, but there is often in life there's some areas of things that we trust people, and we just go with 100% trust. You know, Safras, bring your mezuzah into the Sefer, he tells you it's got terrible mistakes. Okay, the Sefer says, L'havdil elfei alfei havdalot, is like the mechanic. Bring your car into the mechanic, and whatever he says, you don't know any better, you're not trained, and you're not well-versed, so you trust whatever he says. So, I don't mean to compare a mechanic to a Sefer, but we're going to see that who you choose as your Sefer is very important. Just like everyone is very careful who they choose for a doctor, a mechanic, accountant, lawyer, you should be as careful who you are choosing as your Sefer. Now, I don't really know too many Sefer, to be honest with you, I don't know who's good, who's not good, but these are some of the things that you should be looking for when choosing a Sefer, and we'll get into some of the halachas pertaining to Stam, about writing tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah, a lot of things that most of us are not familiar with. Just a lot of tonight's shiur is really just to make aware a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes in the world of Safras with the sefer Torah, the mezuzah, and tefillin, make us a little bit more of an informed customer next time we go shopping. So let's start off like this. The Gemara in Irvin, the Gemara tells us a story. I used to mix the things to make the proper color, to make the ink that you use, special ink that Seifrim use. He said, "Bini, Rabbi Shmuel asked me, what's your job? I'm a Seifer. It's a prestigious position to be a Seifer. He said, my son, you should be very careful. You have to know you're dealing with sacred work. You're doing something very special. You're a Seifer. Because let's say you accidentally omit one word, one letter in a Sefer Torah, or you add one letter to a Sefer Torah, you can destroy the entire world. So here the Gemara was telling us that to be a Sefer is a very big responsibility. Because if you do the wrong thing, the right thing, you add a letter, subtract a letter, do this, you're destroying the world. Why are you destroying the world? So Rashi, I didn't put it on the paper, but Rashi in Erevin says, because if you take certain words and you put a letter out, it says has a different take. It can sound something that's almost destructive or something that's insulting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where you destroy the world. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah really have a different take. If you write a Sefer Torah and the Sefer Torah is possible, so all those Jews never are mekayim in the midst of Kriyas HaTorah. You write a pair of tefillin that is possible, so that Yid never, can you imagine, the Yid goes up to Shemayim Acham Eveshim, he made his life mission to wear tefillin every day, and he gets zero credit because the tefillin were possible. Whose fault is it? It's the Sefer. The Sefer sold him a bad pair of tefillin. He wasn't careful. So the Gemara tells us in Erevin that you have to realize that when you wear a Sefer, it's a big responsibility. It's not a simple job to be a Sefer. You have Melecha Shemayim. You have to have big shoulders. You got to make sure you're not messing up anything. Now, obviously, based on this Gemara, we're going to get into a discussion. Should this lead it for us to then accept the notion of computer checking Sefer Torah? The Gemara says it's such a responsibility because you can miss a letter and add a letter. So today we have modern technology. With modern technology, instead of putting it to the hands of a human, let's run it through a computer. And we'll discuss that in a few minutes, whether or not that became the accepted approach today to use computer checking to check the Sefer Torah. Shulchan Aruch Paskins the number 2, and Hilchas Tefillin. We're going to jump around between Tefillin, Mezuzahs, and Sefer Torah. They have different halachas, but underall, we're going to be discussing general stam. But later on today, we'll talk more specifically about some letters, and that's going to go across the board. So Shulchan Aruch writes, "Tzarich ledaktik b'chaseres." He says you have to be careful with the missing and the extra. Shemchiser or yeser or isachas. If you have an extra letter or you're missing a letter, psulim apostles the tefillin. When it comes out, so the guy puts on these tefillin every single day. He's not yaitzin mitzvah tefillin, and on top of that, says the Shulchan Aruch, he's making a bracha vatol. It's interesting, what was the order of the Shulchan Aruch? If we had to write the Shulchan Aruch, a guy who's wearing a bad pair of tefillin, what's he doing wrong? So we would have thought, the first thing he's doing is he's not yotzei the mitzvah tefillin, and on top of that, he's making a bracha levatol. Shulchan Aruch doesn't write it that way. He writes first, it's a bracha levatol, and secondly, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah. Why do you think he did it that way? So perhaps he did it that way is because if he's not wearing tefillin, what's he doing wrong? So he's mevatol and aseh. But making a bracha levatol, some Rishonim hold, is the nisr deraisa. It's included like sisa shem hashav. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name in vain. So therefore, that perhaps might be a more stricter violation, and that's why that violation is what the Shulchan Aruch writes. But either way, it's bad. Either he's not doing the mitzvah, and on top of that, he's violating loisisa. It's going to come out that the punishment for the sofer is very large. Therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, the sofer needs to be a God-fearing Jew. Anyone who's going to be involved in tefillin, writing it or the fixing of it, he better be a good God-fearing Jew, because you have a lot of responsibility on your hand. And see, the Mishnah Berurah writes, quoting the Levush, that there was a time in history where the sofer didn't necessarily mean to do a, I don't think they meant to do it in a bad way, but they were doing a lot of apprenticeships. They had a lot of young kids that were learning Safras, and they'd let them write all these things, and they weren't writing it 100% the way it's supposed to. So again, you can have a corrupt cipher, which I hope we don't have today, or cipher that are human, and they're not so on top of their game. But the Shulchan Aruch tells us, when you're looking for a cipher, you want to have a guy who's Yerushimayim. Now, how exactly do you measure Yerushimayim? You don't walk in and say, by the way, are you a Yerushimayim, right? These are one of those things that you have to get to know the person, and the more you get to know them, you get to see them interact, you get a feeling for what type of person they are. The Prima Gaudim writes in number 3, something interesting. He says, Bevade oynish ha-soifa yoysim ha-sheichet machal treifus. Right? We all know that the sheichet, very important job to be a sheichet. Used to be in Europe, right under the rabbi was the sheichet. So says the Prima Gaudim, what's more important, a God-fearing sheichet or a God-fearing soifa? So most of us have said, you gotta go with the sheichet. You're gonna be eating treifus and this, that, and the other. Says the Prima Gaudim, no, you gotta go with the soifa. It's more important to have a God-fearing sofer than it is to have a God-fearing sheikh. And obviously, in the perfect world, we like to have both, which is what we have today. That's why we have, you know, shechita that's under control by higher beings, and we have a controlled environment for stam. There's these organizations here in Eretz Yisrael that basically gives haskama and hashkocha and ksava kabbalah, which we'll talk about. But you know, in theory, it used to be the guy lived on the block. He was a sefer. Okay, he became your sefer. Says the Prima Gaudim, oynish ha-sefer yoseh ma'ashrech and machal treifus. This is a lav, because that's a lav. V'zeh machshel b'mitzvah saseh she'menichin tefillin. This is a little bit what we talked about on the Sunday morning show. Which is worse, a lav or an aseh? So here, the Prima Gaudim says, well, eating machal sasuris is a bit of lav. Yeah, but not putting on tefillin every day is losing out on aseh. Which is worse? Va'afim nemed lo yisaseh chomer me'aseh. Maybe he'll tell me what's worse. A lav is more severe than an aseh. Mikom makom brachal v'atol yeshayim dahavi lo yisisa dvar toiro b'chol yoyim. Says the Prima Gaudim, well, let's work it out. If a person doesn't wear tefillin every single day, so he's violating an aseh, it's a bitl aseh, and he's violating a lo yisaseh because he's saying Hashem's name in vain. That's much worse than eating a non properly shechted piece of chicken. So the Prima Gaudim feels it's more important to have a kosher Yerushimayim sofer than perhaps having a Yerushimayim type of a sheikh.
When you're saying a bracha on something like that's actually, does that really fall into the category of saying
it wasn't your fault. Yeah, he's saying it. No, he's learning, and this is the way many assume that even though it wasn't your fault, you thought you were doing a mitzvah, but Huvra Dava Mafreya, that wasn't a mitzvah. There's one of the most famous svarim ever written on stam was a sefer called Keses HaSofer. The Keses HaSofer was written by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch lived in the early 1800s. They lived in Hungary. So we know him for his sefer Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We know him for his sefer Lechem V'Simlo. But one of the very popular svarim on Safrus, ask any sefer, is called the Keses HaSofer. Now, what I photocopied over here is not what he wrote in his sefer, but what I photocopied over here is his haktoma, is his haskama. To his sefer, he got a haskama from the Chassam Sofer. Now, it's a very important, as we'll see tonight, some very historical bits of information that are relevant to understand this sugya. But this haskama is very, very important. That's what we're going to get to at some point. That's the sticky part of the conversation. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was orphaned at a very young age, I think at the age of 8. And he was taken by the Heller family, by Rabbi Heller and Rabbi Mrs. Heller, and they raised him as a child. And he grew up to be a wonderful, obviously a very special yid. For most of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch's life, he was taka balabas. He never held a rabbinic position. And he wrote this sefer when he was a regular, he didn't have a rabbinic position. At the end of his life, he ended up becoming the dayan in Ungvar, in Hungary. But for a good chunk of his life, he had a regular job like everyone else. He wasn't so successful in business. Maybe that's why he decided to switch over. I don't know. But he ended up switching at the end of his life. But he wrote the sefer that's widely accepted, Keses HaSofer. Now, that sefer, that Chassam Sofer, wrote Haskama to the sefer. But look what he writes in his Haskama. Very powerful. He writes, a little hard to, I didn't have such a great copy of it, but he writes like this. He says, the end of the first line, he writes, I'm so happy. I now made it a rule, all those Talmidim who listen to me, And every Rebbe has Talmidim who listen to them, and there's Talmidim who don't listen to them. Okay? So Ezra Chasam says, for those Talmidim who listen to me, that what? Shemiyoyim hadofa sefer keses ha-sefer lads, from the day that this sefer went to print, mikan ve'elich lo'yidnu rishus yikhtav kabolo l'shum sefer, no one can get permission to have a ksav, to have permission to get ordained as a sefer, ki im l'misha yabaki b'sefer azeh v'rogel al-shayne. Unless you're an expert in the sefer keses ha-sefer. Obviously, the Chasam Sofer was very impressed by the sefer. He was very taken by this, to the point where he said that no one can get permission to be an acting sefer unless they are a baki and rogel al-shayne, which means they're an expert in the sefer, and they're familiar with it, which means they could probably quote it and they know it by heart or whatever it is. Ki derech ha-sheichtim shereitim kabbalah, just like a sheichet who gets kabbalah, there's rules and regulations. Ken yenagein on a sefer. And if he's not an expert in Keses HaSeifer, says the Chasam Sofer, he's out. He's going to be fired from the Safras Union. He won't be able to be a Sofer. That's what I commanded my children and my Talmidim. The Chasam Sofer had a lot of children. He had a lot of Talmidim as well. It's very important, and there's a lot of mistakes that Sofrim can make. Again, even in the 1800s, that was the case. It didn't get that much better today. I'm making it a rule. Anyone who listens to me, and that's how it ends up. That's a very beautiful and very important haskama. That haskama is not saying this is a nice sefer, right? Today, if you ever read haskamas, they basically say, yeah, it's a nice sefer, I saw some nice things, it's all wonderful and terrific. If someone writes in his haskama that every sefer needs to learn this, it's going to sell out much better than just saying, yeah, it's a nice sefer, I know the author, he's a nice guy. So the Chasam Sofer gives a very strong glowing. First, Shachta points out that the Keses HaSeifer is rarely quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. Really. It's very strange. A sefer which was so clearly pushed by the Chasam Sofer, for the Mishnah Berurah to really quote it is strange. So Rav Rosh Hashachta threw out the following possibility. It's coming from him and not from me. He wants to suggest that perhaps we know that the Chasam Sofer was married three times. The third wife of the Chasam Sofer was Rebbetzin Heller. Rebbetzin Heller was the foster parent to the Keses HaSofer, the Keses Shulchan Aruch. So he has a possibility that maybe there was a little negius over here when the Chasam Sofer wrote this glowing report. He wants to know, it's very possible that they were already married, he was already married to this Rebbetzin Heller. This was Rebbetzin Heller's adopted child, foster child. So it could be there was a little negius involved. That's Rav Hirsch HaShachter's theory. Now keep in mind, we will discuss from a halachic standpoint how it is important what the Keses HaSofer writes and how the Chasam Sofer wrote such a glowing haskama to the Keses HaSofer. That's merely an introduction to the entire Stam Sugya, which we'll talk a little bit more about. Okay, in any case, the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. So now we know that when you're looking to pick a Sofer, you don't want to just pick the cheapest Sofer, you want to pick a Sofer that has strong Yerushamayim. How do you know his level of Yerushamayim? You have to get to know him. Certain Sofrim have just a good reputation out there, so you want to find someone who has a nice reputation as being a God-fearing Jew. Now, what are some of the things the Sofer should be doing in his world of Safra? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Tefillin, after the conclusion of every parasha, you should reread it. Make sure you got it right. Says the Shulchan Aruch, read it again. What we call proofreading. Read it again to make sure you, because again, if you're going to write through something, a whole thing, and then you look back, you can't go back and fix it because that's going to be considered writing it out of order. So you want to fix the problem before it goes forward. So says the Shulchan Aruch, you read it once, twice, three times. So, says the Shulchan Aruch, you got to proofread it. You got to proofread your own reading. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, huh? Right, but at least going forward, it won't mess up the future parashas. It won't mess up. That's right. Right, each parasha. Right, I guess that would be too hard to do it that way. Now, the minhag became over time that they appointed a person to be called the Magia. I mean, there's a sefer who writes it. Then there was a person whose job was to proofread. The Magia. This is what the Bnei Yonah writes. The Bnei Yonah writes, if a Torah shiyas mitachz yad sefer, tzricha hago. Every sefer Torah, at least, needs to be proofread by a person, not the sefer himself. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the sefer himself proofreads it, and you move on. Says this Bnei Yonah, and this became very popular. No. You have a special person who obviously was also a sefer, but he's a sefer plus. He's a magia. He knows even more. He's proofreading. What's he proofreading? So he's looking for Yeseris and Chaseris, extra letters, missing letters. He's also looking to see if any letters are touching. Letters are not allowed to touch each other in the Sefer Torah. So he's looking for that. He's looking for a whole slew of things that he looks for. But there's another person in the process, besides the Sefer, there's a Magia. Now, how does the Magia process work? So if you look at number 7, the Kol Yaakov. The Kol Yaakov is the Kaf HaChaim. The Kaf HaChaim wrote a separate sefer on Tefillin, at least, called Kol Yaakov. And there he writes this. Ube Bebagdad, where I live in Baghdad, Bimea Kadmoinim Tirchu, Harbe Beinyan Hagoyse Bedikas HaSefer Teiru. They spent a lot of time trying to check and to proofread the Sefer Torah. They were not comfortable. They would do 4 Haggois and 3 Bedikas. 3 Bedikas of the Shulchan Aruch. They had 4 proofreaders. That means they went through a 7-time proofreading process. Because everyone's different. You can put something down in front of 2 people. One guy will see certain mistakes. One people won't. Everyone's different. We're human. So to ensure that nothing was missed, they would proofread it 7 times.
What's the difference between the Haggah and the Bedikah?
The Bedikah is what the Sefer does. The Haggah is the secondary, higher level checking.
What about the words themselves? In other words, the letter, you know, someone would have to know the
Torah. That's right. So that's another question. What are they working off of? So the assumption is there's another properly written Sefer in front of them. There's a shayla if you can listen. Let's say you have an audio of the Sefer Torah. Can you listen to the audio and then write? They talk about this in the Paiskim. I don't know what they do today, but they must have something in front of them that they're looking back to make sure they're getting it accurately. I'm not sure what they use. Practically, I don't know what they use, but I'm assuming they use something that has been proven to have no yiseiros v'chaseiros. That's the hope shot that the Sefer Torah that Ezra had. Ezra's Sefer, that it says in the Mishnah and Tainis, V'sarf apostamis es ha-Torah. Shavas v'tamas, they burnt the Torah. So the question is, okay, obviously Torahs are sacred, but that shouldn't be such a chasaron. So the answer was that was the one Sefer dating back to Ezra that we knew was perfect. It had all the everything was right. There were no mistakes in it. So that's something you don't want to lose. You lose that, then you lose everything. So they have certain svarim over throughout history that are known to be perfect, and that's what we use. So he writes, you have to do this, and he says, and on top of that, he says, So he says maybe we're not going to follow Baghdad's style, but at least we should have 2 or 3 people checking it. Which means you have the Sefer, another Magia, and then another Magia. It's a whole process until we can feel comfortable sending the Sefer Torah out. So the question that came up, and Shmuel Vosner heavily discusses this in his Sefer Sheva Talevi, now that we have computers, should we save ourselves a lot of time and trouble and send it through a computer? They came up with a program that can check for Yiseiros and the Chaseiros. Now again, the computer's not perfect, you can't check for everything, but at least Yiseiros and Chaseiros, which is the biggest concern, one of the biggest concerns. So why don't we just send it through the program, save ourselves a lot of time? So Shmuel Vosner was a very, very big believer in this. He writes away number 8, his big tshuva, I didn't photocopy all of it because it's a lot. His big tshuva is in Shevet HaLevi Chelik Zayin Simon Beis. So before he gets to the computer, he writes this. First question is, what about tefillin and mezuzahs? We know for a sefer Torah you have to have a bedika and a magia. What about for tefillin and mezuzahs? They're much smaller. So Shmuel Vosner writes that today you can't rely on the seifim themselves. V'atam muvim be'atzma, it's self-explanatory because there are numerous mistakes even with tefillin and mezuzahs. They also have to go through a rigorous checking. Many of them are not such God-fearing Jews today, the seifim. Shaydeze gam ha-bedika v'ha-go today they need it just like you need it for a Sefer Torah. Why, says the Shevet HaLevi? Because they're not so God fearing. They'll look over this, that. And we know the Mishnah says in Nida, when it comes to checking for a woman checking, we don't like to do too many bedikas. Right? But when it comes to Safras, here we say, that's great. Keep checking. Why? Says Shmuel Vosner, it's not just nice, it's required. Even tefillin and mezuzahs, even if you want to sell stam tefillin and mezuzahs, Dr. Shmuel Vosner, it needs to go through a rigorous bedika with the Haggah, because people are not careful. That was his opinion. So there's a sefer written, Toiras HaLevi. This sefer was written by Shmuel Vosner's son. I think he's dying in Montreal. Or the one in Muncie, I forget. But he has a couple sons. So one of them writes the following sefer. Number 9. Today that we have this thing called a machashav. So he does us a favor, he writes it in parentheses, computer. That's what a machashav is, it's a computer. That it could check for missing letters or extra letters or words, or muchlefes or switched words, ukiyetzaboy, oz la'achesh over hago b'dika idei magia mumcha v'yerushmaim kanal, yeshluvdik idei machashev chases v'yaseis bovad. He thinks, you still got to go through the ciphers one run through, you still got to go through the magia's one, and then you put it in the computer. The computer does not substitute human checking, but the computer is done on top of the human checking. Now, Shmuel Vazir is of the opinion, not only is this a good idea, but this should be mandatory. Every Sefer Torah should go through this computer after it first went through a human checking two rounds, then it should go through the computer. And he writes over in number 10 in the Sefer, he says the following. This is printed from a letter that Shmuel Vazir wrote. He writes the following. He says, computer Now he gives you some statistics. 60 Sefer Torah, Shai Becheskas Bedukim, Yatsu rak teisha svarim nikiyim mekol shegiyah. That's scary statistics. You have 60 Sefer Torah that are being sold on the market as baduk. They are checked by a human being, and after going through the computer, only 9 of them are actually kosher. That's very, very scary. So he writes, uberuba deminkam oy nimtsu shegiyas pesulz arayv. Some of them are recognizable. V'chem b'didon avi uvde b'Sefer Torah shenichtav talmidim gedoyim tzadikim shenitzu v'nimtsu hayotei taos mamash b'chasiv yes. He says, we had it with our own talmidim. Talmidim of Shmuel Vazir, wonderful Jews. They wrote a Sefer Torah with 5 mistakes. Again, 5, 1 pasuls, 5 mistakes. Imkein, yadu mashakas amarnach sam sefer dan esoyin yoisim emei edim. Testing is better than witnesses. Valkein bevadim misha evshalei livdek Sefer Torah shalei deklia. Now, mechuyev. Says Shmuel Vazir, if you have the option, you have the program, or you can get the program, you have to. For omadoi levar b'masha evshalei levar, and you should try to check as much as you can. Because it's much worse to read a Sefer Torah that's only humanly checked. Even though the Rambam sheet is a Yoytze B'dievet, even in a Sefer Torah Psula. But Lamai, so why should we do that? If we have, if we have technology, let's use it. Let's use the program to limit the Yaseiris V'chaseiris. Now, if you look over here in the Sefer 11 called Tfilin Kehilchasam, he writes also statistics. He writes, "Hamamtzim sheizgalu idea machashev hayochu b'holam es kol anugim b'dover. We take 100 sifrei Torah harishayim shenitzuk idea machshav, rak 18 nimtzuk sheirim. Out of 100 sifrei Torah that went through the computer, only 18 were kosher. These are wild statistics. They're unbelievable.
What period of time is this written?
Not so long ago. The last 25-30 years. Not so long ago." Scary. So that's why some Achraim say, what are you going to do? You're going to tell me that all our Zaydas had Pasal Sefer Torah. It can't be Maitzi Laz, Al Dervish Rishayim. So we're going to talk about that. But this is wild statistics over here. Out of 100 Sefer Torah, only 18 were kosher. That's scary to believe. And we use it for Pasha Zocha, that's the rice. We use it every Shabbos. Again, perhaps Tefillin and Mezuzahs are the same also. In that Sefer, I don't photocopy it. He did a statistic where they took out. Also, one community, he went to a community and they checked all the mezuzahs. I know that's a wild numbers. Now again, mezuzahs are not so fear. A lot of them, the weather can impact them and time can impact them. But Sifrei Torah, that out of 100, only 18 were kosher. And he's talking about Yiseis v'chaseiros, they're missing letters. You see that? How could they miss letters? You know how many letters there are on a Sefer Torah? There's a lot. So there's a lot. There's a lot going on. We're human beings and we make mistakes. So he writes like this. So he says that gamba bedikas mezuzah parshas tefillin is galu tos rabbis, and not only is it a Sefer Torah problem, it's the same problem mezuzah and tefillin. So he writes that all those that were pro computer checking, they were Reb Eliashiv, Reb Minchas Yitzchak, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Reb Shmuel Vosner, as we mentioned, and Reb Nissen Karelitz. They were all of the opinion that what tikkun gadol mitzvah rabba. Okay, Reb Shmuel Vosner held it mandatory. Not everyone held it mandatory, but everyone was pretty much pro. Yeah, it's a great idea. Why not do it? Go for it. Why not? And then he says over a story. He says, Sefer Torah Rishon Ba'olam Shenivdak Yedei HaMachashav. This might help us exactly the year. The first Sefer Torah ever checked by computer was the Sefer Torah from the Yekesh Shul. Adasi Sharon. There you go. Adasi Sharon, by Washington Heights, New York. Al Kach Ksav Reb Shimon Schwab Rav Dekal Adasi Sharon. So I don't know when Reb Shimon Schwab was Nifter, but if you got to figure that out, you'll know when exactly this happened. But he was the first one to have his Sefer Torah checked by computer. And he said the following line. He writes, "V'libi yomer meyoyis toiv al tiera shemeachas sheichoyl mayim levari yoyis imashay beefsheres adhena." Now that we have the ability to use this technology, what we couldn't do before, Shemachshav zeh chiv gomer. Said Reb Shwab, it's an obligation. I call soifer yiri lekim livdikas kol yoytzi mitachaziyot the idea machashav. Every soifer needs to check it through a computer. So if you're looking to buy stam tefillin mezuzah, ask your soifer. By the way, do you run it through a computer? Again, I don't know. I tried to. I have a friend of mine who's a soifer. I called him yesterday, hoping I could pick his brain for a little bit. He did not answer the phone, so I didn't really have a chance to really speak to him about it. But next time you go in, so especially for a sefer Torah, if you're going to buy a sefer Torah, you definitely should ask. Or you can even ask in your shul. Ask the rabbi in your shul. By the way, did our sefer Torah go through the computer? It's a fair question.
Do we have a chiyuv to go and do that now?
So that's a
statistics.
Yeah, it's scary statistics. Right, so Reb Shmuel Vaz's thing is, it's again, I don't know if, after we've been using it for so long, I don't know if I would go and do it that way, but when you're buying something initially, you definitely should ask that if it was computer checked. Now, there is a minority opinion. There's three opinions. There's Reb Shmuel Vaz's hold that's obligatory like Reb Schwab. Then there's the middle ground, which is like, yeah, it's a wonderful thing, but not obligatory. Then there's the last opinion, Reb Menashe Klein holds that you're not allowed to do it. So let's see, on page two.
Do they have a space in the Washington High School?
It doesn't say. I don't know, it doesn't say if they had any. That would definitely make things interesting. But he writes over in Ramesh Shtemrich, writes in a tshuva, that he's not willing to go as far as Reb Shmuel Vazn. He writes in number 12, the nearish ain't adin kain. It's not obligatory. V'avshim yochel gam who loved the canal, yofa ois, says Ramesh Shtemrich, I think it's terrific. If you want to run it through the computer, I'm all for it. But I can't go like Reb Shmuel Vazn and Reb Schwab that makes it mandatory. The rabbi mahadrin kain after mechigavah, and people do that, it costs a lot of money. I don't know what it costs. They keep on talking about the price of it. I don't know what the price of it is to run through the computer. He says Reb Mashiach, you're getting yourself into trouble over here. If you're going to mandate it, so you're going to say anyone who doesn't have it is using a apostle sefer Torah. That's not good. Well, this shul doesn't do computer check. Also, everyone in the shul is not yoytze and they have apostle sefer Torah. To be bite the sefer Torah, no. That's the, how does it go again? The tefillin is twice every 7 years. I don't know what the sefer Torah is. I think I forgot already. We did this year about how often to check. We did a few years ago before Elul, because this is the time of year when people check. So that the Gemara in Yuma says it. Two every seven for the mezuzah, for the tefillin. And the mezuzah also. I forgot already.
Too.
Yeah, I think you go together, Gemara says.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's the argument they're going to make. If it was baidik by the cipher, he did what Shulchan Aruch again. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say you need to put it through a computer. So we can only work with it. Here's a very, modern argument. If we work with what Chazal told us, then we're good to go. You're making trouble. You're saying, well, we have a computer. So now that we have a computer, let's use computer information. Mechetesa. This is the argument Rav Asher Weiss makes about DNA. He says, if you're going to accept DNA, so then we're going to have to start going backwards and saying, well, now that we can use DNA, let's prove certain people that under regular law had a chazaka that they were a certain status, and now you're going to use DNA, now you're going to make them a mamzer and make their dirt. It's a tricky, tricky thing to do. So these are achrayim say, no, before you take the sefer Torah, run it through the machine. This way, so many achrayim say, well, nebuch, they didn't have it, what are we supposed to do? We're not supposed to never move on because they didn't have it in the previous generations. Baruch Hashem, because Baruch Hu gave someone the idea to make a computer, and now we're enlightened, so we should use it. They couldn't use it. No. This idea that because they didn't have it, we can't do it, is a very, very logical argument. They couldn't, so they couldn't, but we could, we should. That's the argument. So Ramesh Steinbach thinks that you don't have to, but he thinks it's a nice idea. But Menashe Klein, in number 13, he's against it. He writes, number 13, stop it. Don't start new things. Something that's Torah. This was always something that was never involved with a computer. This was always Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. Elo kemoshi nasla Moshe, masul Yeshua v'kasav Moshe Rabbeinu be'at be'et sefer mahor Hakadosh Baruch Hu kariy Moshe kaysef. Says Rashi Klein, how did the first sefer Torah get to us? There was no computer. It was Hashem spoke and Moshe wrote. That's the way it's going to be. That's our Messiah. Someone writes it and we pass it down. Again, obviously, much to argue on this debate. Very nice, but things have changed and we no longer sleep in tents and we have indoor plumbing, right? There are certain things that we do use with the... And the service is not Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's not Kosh Baruch Hu talking. Okay, but this is Reb Menashe Klein's Taina, and therefore he writes another argument. He says, he said, we had a system. We had the cipher, then a magia. We have a system built in. So he says, "Akol b'ksav b'de adam upama ma'ati shechay nasan Hashem isbarach to say nakadosh b'midbar shemamol laharis shebchamakim asher asker shmi b'midbar b'li computer u'b'li shem techniki." He says, "Why was the Torah given in the midbar? There's no technology in the midbar. It's not true today either, but okay. Right? There's no Wi-Fi in the midbar. There's no technology in the midbar. The Torah is not connected to technology." In my humble opinion, it's a weak argument. It's not a sefer Torah. It's a stam argument. Where do you allow technology to work its way into halacha? His argument is, why should it work its way at all? This was something that was never involved in technology, but one could argue that today that we do have this technology, perhaps we should use it. So I don't know what most people do, but in the Achronim, besides Menashe Klein, most of them were definitely pro it. Some even held obligatory. No one was against it except for this true of Menashe Klein that I'm aware of, at least in print, that was against it. That there's something wrong. Others make the argument, but now you might see laws in all the previous Sefer Torah. So Rabbi Shmuel Vazel discussed that in the Truva. He thinks that's not a compelling argument. He says no, nebuch for them, but we're Baruch Hashem, we could change. So Rabbi Shmuel Vazel clearly rejected that possibility. So that's something, I guess you could speak to the Rav of the Shul, whoever knows, speak to the whoever's involved in these things, just for curiosity. I know in my shul, I think many of our Sefer Torah were computer checked, but in every shul, it's just an interesting question. Hey, they were also all checked here. Okay. So again, if you're looking to buy Stam, that's one thing you should perhaps ask yourself. By the way, do you computer check whatever it may be? This way you know for sure that you can be Samech on that. There's another very long, if you look at 13b, listen to this Psak from Shmuel Vazner. It's unbelievable. This is how far Shmuel Vazner went and his idea about how important computer checking is. Number 13b, this is his son, Teres Alevi. He writes, let's say you have a shul that has one Sefer Torah that was computer checked, but the others were not. Okay. Says Reb Shmuel Vazner's son, you should only use that Sefer Torah. After Shetzarech Lohoytzi Shnei Svarim. What happens on that Kriya when you have to take out two Sefer Torah? Said Reb Shmuel Vazner, take out one, and it's better to take out the one that was checked and be matriach the tzibur and have to roll it than taking out two. Odev lohoytzi rak oisa sefer ulgogul etzarech ha kriya shniya, ma'ashe lohoytzi sefer Torah achas shli ova b'dikas ha-machashef. That's powerful. He really is convinced that the one that's checked is good to go with 100 without a doubt, and these are all perhaps doubtable. Therefore, if you have one that's for sure and one that's questionable, you go with the one that's for sure. So according to Shmuel Vazner, if you have a Sefer Torah that was checked and the others were not, you're mechoyev, you should take it only that one Sefer Torah, roll it, put aside Yechid Zibur because you'd rather wait a few seconds and at least make sure you're getting Kriyas HaTorah done halachically correct. So that's one thing you should know when you walk into a Yosefer, whatever you're going to be writing, you want to ask them or talk to him, pick his brain about the whole idea of computer checking. Now there's another Mishnah Berurah over number 14. It's also in Hilchos Tefillin. He writes like this: L'chein yizar kol adam liknos tefillin misoifim mumcha v'yirshmayim u'bal teir. You got to be careful when you're buying tefillin that you're buying it from a seifer mumcha. He's an expert. He's God fearing and he's a bal teir. V'chein ritzuos, even the straps, not only the actual parshias, yikne me'ish nemon shu batuach shenavdu l'shman me'oyres taharis. Because again, I don't think we'll get into it unless I decide to make this like a 5-part series. There are other things that go into Stam, not just the parshas. The ritzuos, they have to come from a certain hide, and the hide has to be done. Lishman has to be made lishma. You have to make sure it was done properly. Today, a lot of it's done with machines. That's itself a question. But says in Mishnah Berurah, you want to make sure that's also. Kimishu meniach tefillin psulim loylevach in mekayim mitzvah. Says in Mishnah Berurah, because if you're going to put on pasul tefillin, you're not getting the mitzvah. El shmevarch kamo vekamo brachos v'atolishu oven godl. Says Mr. Moore, in my days, in the late 1800s, this is a rampant problem. People buy from anyone because it's cheap. It's expensive tefillin. It's an expensive purchase. So people shop around for the cheapest price out there. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but the cheapest price might be coming along with a person who has no idea what he's doing. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'ruban eina miruban. They're not cornered. V'ad yetzik l'kulim shemat v'emkeis k'sivas. There are other problems. V'chol yeir shemayim mitan liben. Any God-fearing Jew should think the following. Im amabusha v'kelev hu mahadish iyu kitukunam. When you buy clothing, you want to make sure it's done properly. Mikoshkein b'cheftze shemayim shalit tzamtzim v'yachos ala kesef. Don't be cheap, says the Mishnah Berurah, when it comes to spirituality. Buy what is for sure good, even if it's a little bit more expensive. This is a priority issue. What do we spend money on? A person makes a bar mitzvah for his son, so he spends a lot of money on the affair and a lot of money on the kiddush. The tefillin, not so much money. That's not right, says the Mishnah Berurah. Spend more money on the tefillin than you're spending on the photographer or whatever else goes into bar mitzvah. So this is just an important line in Stam. Whenever a person is buying mezuzah, tefillin, keep this line of the Mishnah Berurah. Don't go cheap. Again, There's a shayla how much money you have to spend, but go to someone who's reputable. Don't buy it on eBay, or at the back of a van somewhere, because he's selling mezuzah for $7 a mezuzah. There's probably a reason why it's going for that price, because and we mentioned in the beginning of this year, these things an amateur knows nothing about. If he showed you a parasha of mezuzah, it looks about right. It's in Hebrew. It's got the right, everything. We know nothing. So you got to just be careful. You want to make sure you're buying from someone who's reputable. Okay, now, the big controversy in Safras is the following. At least what we'll talk about, or at least start talking about tonight, is the writing of the letters. There's basically three or four major styles of writing in Ksav. The first one is what's called Ksav Beis Yosef. We'll see why it's called Ksav Beis Yosef. Ironically enough, who uses Ksav Beis Yosef? Ashkenazim, which is very strange. Beis Yosef was a Sfardi, and all the Ashkenazim use Ksav Beis Yosef. That's the first type of Ksav. The second popular Ksav is called Ksav Arizal. That's predominantly used today by Chassidim. There's a third Ksav called Ksav Velish. Velish was perhaps the name of the town that introduced this new Ksav. That's used today by Sfardim. They use called Ksav Velish. And there's a fourth Ksav, that's Ksav Chabad. That was the Ksav of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Alter Rebbe, and he has his own Ksav. So there's basically four type of Ksavim. So if you're walking into a Sefer, and you want to write something, so you're going to write your Sefer Torah, your Tefillah Mezuzahs, so he's going to ask you, what Ksav do you want? So if he looks at you and he sees you don't look too Hasidish, he'll assume you want Ksav Beis Yosef. Now again, you might want, if you're a Lubavitcher, you might want Ksav Shulchan Aruch Harav. But if you're a Sfardi, you're probably looking for what's called Ksav Velish. Now what exactly is the difference between the two of them? So if you look over here, in number 15, the Beis Yosef in Siman Lamed Vav has an entire selection where he goes through all the letters. And there he describes to you how the letter should look. And he's not quoting from himself, he's quoting from a sefer called Baruch Sha'amar, which is actually a Rishon, a sefer called Baruch Sha'amar, quoted a lot in Beis Yosef and Stam. So he writes like this, the letter Ches. The differences between Ksav Arizal and Ksav Beis Yosef are a couple of letters, but the two most recognizable one are the Ches and the Tzadi. The most controversial is the Tzadi. Now, what is the difference between Ksav Beis Yosef and Ksav Arizal and the Ches? So how does the Beis Yosef say the Ches should look? Tihei kimoi shnei zayonim mechukim zu mizu. Says the Beis Yosef, you know how a Ches should look? It should look like two Zions that are a little bit away from each other. If you look at, on the left corner, I gave you some pictures. I think this is the only show I ever put pictures in the topic. So here, you look at the picture, you see where it says Ksav Beis Yosef. That's two Zions put together by a top, and that's our Ches. Look at the Ksav Ari, it's not like that. In Ksav Ari, it's a Vav and a Ches. That's a big difference. It's a Vav and a Zayin is the Ches. So that you notice right away. If you open a Sefer Torah, if you ever get, next time you get an Aliyah, if you're a Baal Keira, and you want to know what Ksav your shul has, so look, wait till you see a Ches, and you'll know. If it's recognizable, it's easy. You don't even have to spend too much time looking. Right away, the Ksav Beis Yosef has a Zayin, has two Zayins, and Ksav Ari has a Vav and a Zayin.
Do they mix and match?
Oh, we're going to talk about it. That's a Shaila. Whether or not it's you write one way, have to save Torah this way, have to save Torah that way. The other shayla's going to come up if you're a Ksav Beis Yosef guy, and let's say, for example, you're in a Chassidish community, you're there for Shabbos, so save Torah is Ksav Ari. Am I Yaitz Ksav Ari? Or let's say I want to borrow tefillin from a friend. My friend is a Chassidish guy, he's got Ksav Ari. So we'll talk about these types of shaylas. Now, look at the Tzadi. This is interesting. How is the Tzadi different in. Oh, I did it wrong. I apologize. I didn't put it in. Okay. The Ksav Ari's Tzadi, if you look at the top right corner of the Tzadi, it's an inverted Yud. It's a Yud Hafucha. In Ksav Beis Yosef, it's a regular Yud, the regular way. That's the difference. This is a very, very important difference. This is going to be very, very relevant Halacha L'mais. So again, I don't know why I did it this way. I apologize. I got to stop doing these things so late at night. But this is also something you'll notice right away when you open the Sefer Torah. In the regular Tzadi, in Ksav Ari, everyone agrees that the top of the Tzadi is made of a Yud. It's a Yud connected to a Nun, actually. If you take a look at the Tzadi, the end of Tzadi is really a Nun together with a Yud. Now, the top corner is a Yud. How does that Yud look? So in Ksav Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef writes, I wrote it over in number 16. Beis Yosef, he writes, Ye haroisha rishin ke'en Yud sheponek tzas klape malo. It's going upwards, but it's facing regular. In Ksav Arizal, it's an inverted Yud. The Yud is upside down. That you can clearly see in the picture, that the Tzadi is upside down. Again, in Ksav Beis Yosef, it's the other way around. So these are the two major nafkaminas between the two Ksavim. Now, the Arizal wasn't the Rishon. The Arizal lived later. So where is the Arizal coming from to make up his own Ksav? Does he have the right to do that? That seems to be very strange. If we have the Beis Yosef laid out for us, what the Ksav should be, and now that Rizal's changing, that seems to be something we're not used to seeing. So if you look over here, number 17, there's a Sefer written by Reb Chaim Kanievsky on Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzos. He writes the following. He says there's at least 9 Rishonim who back up the Ksav Beis Yosef. At least 9. And he lists them. The Eshkol, Sefer Truma, the Ramban, the Ran, the Agos Maimnis, the Egor, Reb Shemin, goes to all them. Shekasu behedish etzuras atzadi hu yud v'nun. That the Tzuras HaTzadi is the Yud V'Nun, Ve'evi Kem Shem Aleph Bet, V'loi Tech Lalei Mishu Yud Afuch. It doesn't make sense to me like the Arizal. Shebechol Mokim Shei Afuch Again, Patav Kasru Shu Kimin Vav Afuch. He says, wherever they tell you it's flipped, they write it's a Vav Afuch. All the Rishonim wrote that a Tzadi is a Nun with a Yud. What type of Yud? Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, if they don't tell you how the Yud looks, you assume it's a regular Yud, not a Yud Afuch like the Arizal held. And then he quotes the Chazanish, which we'll have to get into in a few minutes, and therefore says, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it's not just the Beis Yosef. Again, for us, that's good enough. The Beis Yosef is a Shulchan Aruch. We're good to go. But says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, at least 9 other Rishonim seem to imply that the Ksav that we have, the Tzadi, should have the regular Yud, not the inverted Yud. Right, so that I was thinking about getting into it, so I'm going to leave it. That's a big discussion. What we call Ksav Ashurus, what is that? How does that come from? Where does it come from? Yeah, that's a big discussion. Yeah, I decided I'm going to leave it for that. But it needs discussion. I'm not belittling the question. It does need much more discussion. What exactly, what is Ksav Ashurus? What was before Ksav Ashurus? What did we have before that? All that type of stuff. That's right. Right, the Gemara says they were etched out, and the Gemara gives us all these different. Right, in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel Kuf Beis goes through a lot of these Tzuras Oisius because negate to Ksav on Shabbos. That's where it comes up. So now the question.
Before the Beis Yosef was around, what they used.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's right. Right. Well, what happened before? Right. That's always the question. That Bli Nedar I want to talk about. Maybe next week we'll get to it. Right. Everyone talks about, and this is what I want to talk about. Machlokes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam in the Parshas. Question: what did they do before Rashi Rabbeinu Tam came along? So we'll have to answer that question when we discuss a full shiur dedicated to should we all be wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? That's something that comes up once you get into this. You got to deal with that as well. So the question that is: can I? I'm a Beis Yosef guy, right? I'm Ashkenazic European Jew. I use Ksav Beis Yosef, right? Right? Someone's buying tefillin for my son. They ask me what Ksav to use. Yeah, Ksav Beis Yosef, no question. That's what most Ashkenazic Jews use. But what happens if I want to use Ksav Ari? Is that a problem? So one would have assumed, yeah, it is a problem. That's not the way the letter is supposed to look. Just like if a letter is incorrect, it's incorrect, so there should be a problem. So the Chassam Sofer has 2 tshuvas about this. 2 very important tshuvas. The Chassam Sofer, now keep in mind the Chassam Sofer and his relation to the Kesses HaSofer and his endorsement of the Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes in the tshuva like this, number 18, Hini shalech lemichtav mehai safra dukno didon shalamadnu imoy temuna sa'oisi shel harabi umashiyire yemini hatzadikim ohofchen. He writes over here that I spent time with the Sofer and I taught him how to write the letters with the Tumunas Ois Yishel Harav Beis Yosef. We use Beis Yosef, Ksav, except for the Tzadik where we invert it like the Arizal. Now that doesn't surprise any of us because who was the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe? Reb Nosson Adler. Reb Nosson Adler, although was a Yekka, Reb Nosson Adler was a very, very big Mekubal. He was very into these types of things. So the Chassam Sofer apparently says that the Safrus in his town, under his guidance, was Ksav Beis Yosef, except for the Tzadis. Very interesting. Everything except for the Tzadis. That he went with the Arizal. Now, there's another tshuva Chassam Sofer. Now, what do you see from the Chassam Sofer? It can't be possible. It can't be possible then, right? There's no way it's going to be possible. Then there's another tshuva Chassam Sofer where he writes, over there he was talking about in a get. If you have to write the letter Tzadi in a get, and you invert it, you write it like Sav Arizal, what happens? Says the Chassam Sofer, Oides Tzadik bi Yud Yemin Hafucha, Kim Shekein Das, Amukubal, Kim Shekasim, Mishnas Chasidim, Ubesefe Matzah Shemurim, Vim Kein, Kim Shekam Tinuk, Kairi Oise Tzadik, Eich Nifslo Get Mishvul Zeh. Says the Chassam Sofer, how can you possibly get that's written with the inverted? It looks like a Tzadi. Everyone can read Tzadi. And that's the way that Arizal wrote it. So it sounds like from the Chassam Sofer that this is okay. This is endorsed Mahalach to write the inverted Tzadi. Writes the Kesses HaSofer. He writes, "Im kasav yud al yoyin afucha kaze." If he writes, if you wrote in an inverted, "Im efshel etakim benachal yitakim." If you can fix it, you should fix it. Why? The Kesses HaSofer was endorsed by the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer seems very comfortable with the inverted tzadi. So why over here does he write, "If you can fix it, you should fix it"? What do you mean? Why? The Chassam Sofer was a big believer that it's okay. And according to that, all of it should be like that. So the Kesset HaSeifer is not really clear where he stands in this. It's clear, like from the Kesset HaSeifer, it's for sure kosher. Even if you're not an Arizal guy, you're a Beis Yosef guy. But because, again, I would say, what do you mean? In Efshel Itakin, Benakal Itakin, why? Kon Tel Chassam Sefer, he always wrote his Tzadis Afuches. Very, very interesting thing. So the Chassam Sefer seems to be in the discussion over here of where he stood on the Tzadi. Then we have from the Vilna Gaon. In the Maaser Rav LaHagra, they write the following in the back. Vashinin Shemeshane B'tmunos, V'chein HaTzadik Kefufin HaKumin LaChayir V'Yipos. Fine. V'hadi Uvda Shero, Tehevi Lifnei Choisnei HaRav HaMunach Moshe, Parashois of Kesuvim Meshinim B'Tzadik Kanal. They had a case where they had the inverted tzaddiks, the choit choy be'atzmoy, and the gra cut it himself. Said the Goyin, you know where this inverted tzaddik came from? Shabtzai Tzvi. Always comes back to Shabtzai Tzvi. Says the Vilna Goyin, it's horrific. The inverted tzaddis are a treif. They come from the Shabtzai Tzvi. Shehetiku kain b'soich ksav arizal. It somehow got mixed in to the Arizal, but it's really Shabtzai Tzvi. So therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, inverted tzaddis are puzzle. Okay, now we got a problem. If you're a Gronai, you're an Ashkenazi Gro fellow, according to the Vilna Gaon, every inverted tzaddi is puzzle. So how can you borrow tefillin from a Chassidish guy? How can you go to a shul that has Ksav Ari? You can't, according to the Vilna Gaon. So according to the Vilna Gaon, it should come out that Ksav Ari is puzzle for us Gronics, whatever that means to be a Gronic. So if you look over here, number 23, they say over the following idea. This is a sefer called Minchas Tzvi, a real contemporary Yidden Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a Gvaldika sefer on Stam. He writes like this. Ube sefer told us at Tzadik Ibn Yosef Zundo Misalant Kosav, Ka me'idu b'shem Rabbeinu ha-goyin ha-godol admer nefesh ha-chayim. Reb Chaim Volozhin. Who was the Rebbe of Reb Chaim Volozhin? The Vilna Goyin. We just said that the Vilna Goyin held inverted Tzadi's apostle. Reb Chaim Volozhin said the following. They say about the Reb Chaim Volozhin that what? The Vilna Gaon held, the Reb Chaim Volozhin held both ksavim akosher, hein tumunos Ashkenazim, hein tumunos Asvardim. Whether you're using Ashkenazi, basically you're using velish. Ksav velish also has an inverted tzadi. Whoa! Reb Chaim Volozhin, Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, said you're allowed to use an inverted tzadi? Seems very strange. Something's not adding up over here. Then he writes, "V'hidu shekaru b'sefer Torah velish shetnei admar nefesh chaim." They used to read from a sefer Torah velish. Gam arav shachna bal magia heid shu ba'atz mekar b'sefer Torah shavelish v'velojin shetnei admar nefesh chaim b'seder. They used to read it all the time. The sefer Torah and velojin was ksav velish. V'gam ani mei b'teres edush ani ba'atz mekar b'velojin b'samedrish b'shabes b'sefer Torah. Aksuva b'ksav velish. V'gam hoyil admar agayin b'chaim velojin megillah sheyashim ksav velish. Chaim Volozhin had a Shir Hashirim written at Ksav Velish. Voisach Shuv Moi Beinav, he liked it a lot. Ubechol Amit Pesach, he nisi b'teir l'sad l'li ha-kriya, v'gam l'gals Esther, ha yiksuva kach, v'en nisi ba, and I looked into it. This was the year Tavkof Ayin Dalet, or Tavkof Ayin Hei. Now this is very strange. And Chaim Volozhin was a Talmud Muvik of the Vilna Gaon. Ksav Velish has inverted tzadis. Something's wrong. Something seems to be a little off over here. Okay. Could be a disnakut, he argued on his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. But people point out, it's very strange. The Vilna Gaon was so adamant about this, and his Talmidim were so not machbir on it. Something seems a little strange over here from a historical point. Again, why would Reb Chaim Volozhin have Ksav Velish? I'm not sure. That's not the typical Ashkenazic style of Ksav, but apparently that's what they had in Volozhin. So
maybe it's a difference between Velish and the Ari that he put specifically with the Ari. If he wrote the whole same, you know.
Yeah, but that's one of the major differences. Is this letter? Is the Tzadi? And Ksav Velish has the same tzadi reverted. Now we have to figure out why is it so bad to have a reverted tzadi? Again, it doesn't change the way you read the letter. It's the same tzadi. Anyone sees it will know it's a tzadi. So that's we'll have to leave it maybe for next time. But if you look at Moshe Sternbach, he has a tshuva where he writes like this. He says, "Well, Divrein, the Shitas Hagra." Again, so here's the question: if you're a Gra guy, you keep every Vilna Gaon in the book. I don't know too many people that are like that, but if you are one of those guys, how can you justify putting on Arizal tefillin? How do you justify it? So he writes, "Uldevreinu the shitas hagra tzadi im yor hafoch posel b'diyevi b'tzilam mezuzas im min hagay tamid k'minig Ashkenaz dafka." If you taka always an Ashkenazi yid, avo mishem b'seris etzli ma'avoyis of karizal. Let's say you're from a Chassidish background and your grandparents and your, I mean, what happens if you just realize now that you have ksav arizal? You say, "Well, ksav arizal, I'm not really Chassidish, I'm whatever. I'm a regular person. So my grandfather was a chassidish, so I now have ksav arizal. Should I run and switch the pashas? So says Moshe Sternberg, perhaps not. If you have a messiah dating back to your parents, that they're arizal people, kamli the daily possible the evid. We'll talk about the chazinish. So he thinks it depends. If you are chassidish by nature, whatever that means, so it's okay to use ksav arizal. But if you're really litvish by nature, then it's really not correct for you to use ksav arizal, because at least according to the Vilna Gaon. Again, Vilna Gaon. We'll see in Blina the next week. Not everyone agreed to the Vilna Gaon. But if you're a real Vilna Gaonnik, the chayre, it's questionable whether or not you should be allowed to use ksav arizal.